Hello, this is Atanasha Pirali. We're going to discuss today about EB1A, the extraordinary ability cases where people who come to the United States, like scientists, people of even athletes, and also researchers, and also people who have some kind of extraordinary ability. And what it entails, and why you should look into that if you have a chance. For one, this category is called EB1A, and for EB1As, the good news is that you don't have to basically wait. It is current on the visa bulletin. If you check the visa bulletin, and this is, and I'm going to have a shortcut on the visa bulletin, so I'm using this website to get to the visa bulletin. As you can see, I'm going all over this website. So the visa bulletin is very interesting, and I'm going to use the March visa bulletin. And here we go. As you can see, the EB1 first category is current for every country of the world, including India, China, Mexico, and the Philippines. And the advantage of having the ability to file this, it allows you to basically get your green card really quickly, because the EB1 categories are categories of which allows you to basically obtain your labor. There's no need for a labor certification. There's not even a need for an employer when it comes to EB1A. And if you are approved and you're, for example, already in the United States, you can just file for adjustment of status. In fact, you can file for the adjustment of status, which is the I-45, concurrently, which allows you ultimately to obtain a work permit within a few weeks, and ultimately your green card. Most of the time, if you do it to premium, you might get it within a couple of months. You might be able to get your green card. And just to, as a note, you don't have to be inside United States to file for the EB1A. It can be filed while you're outside. Only thing is the last part, which is the green card part. You have to do a consular processing, and this will be processed by the National Visa Center, and ultimately your interview at the US consulate, and you can come on a green card to the United States. Our law office have processed a lot of EB1As, and we are very proud to say that we have a good success rate, because we assess this case before we even move forward on them. So who may qualify for an EB1A? Well, in order to qualify, you have to have an extraordinary ability in the sciences, arts, education, business, or as an athlete, and you have sustained national or international acclaim, and you have been recognized in your field, and you have to prove this through a lot of documentation. You cannot just say you are; you have to prove it. And proving it is where we come in. We can help you on those. And also, you have to show that you are going to enter. That means you're going to, when you get your green card or when you're processing it, you will be working in this area. For example, you cannot say you're coming as an athlete and then you're going to be working as a scientist, unless it is something relevant to that. And it has to also substantially benefit. The United States. So it is very important that you look at it, because many times people think you need a PhD to get into the EB1A. That's not really true, although a PhD helps to get that. Can I apply if I don't have a major international award and of renowned repute? You may establish it if you qualify on at least three groups of those acceptable pieces of evidence, including proof of lesser national or international prizes of excellence, published material of your excellence in major publications. The word major is very important, because people think just regular publications will do. It doesn't work this way. So you need some major publications, and for example, in the AMA and things like that. So journals, or law journals, these are important, but these are just few examples I'm giving you. But eventually, you also have to show that you're going to command a high compensation. If, of course, like I said, if you don't have an international award and things like that, these are required to be proven. You don't need a job offer, as I mentioned. This is the advantage with the EB1A. You don't really need an employer to petition for you, although having an employer helps a lot. And what are the requirements to demonstrate the extraordinary ability? Well, we have a list of questions here, and you have to have at least three of those questions as a yes. Then you will be able to apply for that. One, have you received any lesser nationally or internationally recognized prizes or awards for excellence in the field of your endeavor? So, for example, you're receiving awards, you are a scientist, you won, I'm not saying you have to win the Nobel Prize, but something to that will help. Are you a member of association that require outstanding achievements for their members as judged by recognized national or international experts? So this is important because your achievements is what's going to make the EB1A. EB1A is not your job, it's your achievements. Is there published materials in professional or major trade publications or major media about you which relates to your work in the field? Oftentimes you will have the many people who have achieved something exceptional. You will see publications which will be appearing for them. So these are, I think, like I said, you have to have three of them, but we'd like to have more, but you have to have three of them. So if you answer yes to those, have you made original scientific, scholarly, or business contributions that are of major significance? Then at this point, even patents can be helpful. Oftentimes people are patenting important or trademarking important things, inventions, discoveries, so you might want to use those. Have you authored any scholarly articles in professional journals or other major media? That kind of relates to your publications, but this is as an author, if you have written a book or a major article or any kind of thesis, that can be helpful. Thesis is not really helpful because it's attached to usually to the PhDs, but it can be used ultimately. Has your work been displayed at an artistic exhibition or showcase? Those are usually for artists. If you're someone renowned and people like your work, that is major, especially if it is in a big art gallery and it is a recognized one and your work is being sold, even not sold, but recognized. I'm not going to say you're Van Gogh or you're going to be Picasso, but at least if you have been showcased in those major exhibitions, it's very important. Have you played a leading or critical role for an organization with a distinguished reputation? For example, let's say you're an executive for a big, for Microsoft, for a big executive, so Google or things like that, you might be able to use that. Have you or will you command a high salary or remuneration? So basically, just because you have extraordinary ability, you've probably been paid very well, and if you can prove that, it is helpful to your case. Have you enjoyed commercial successes in the performing arts? For example, you produce something, or you're showcasing, or you're an artist, or things like that, and you have enjoyed, you've been selling a lot of tickets, or you made a movie, or things like that, you might be able to prove one of them. Like I said, like you see here, 3 out of 10. And if you, basically then, if you meet three of them, then you have this ability to prove that part of extraordinary ability. Also, if you have, it is important to show, for example, the significance of the work others you judge, the significance and importance of the scholarly works you created, and the degree to which the salary or other remuneration you commanded was higher than in other fields. This was already mentioned earlier. As you see, you need to prove three of them. And if you can, you are qualified now for that part of extraordinary ability. Now, the second part that you need to prove that you're coming to the United States to work in the area of extraordinary ability. And some of the evidence you can show to prove that are letters from prospective employers, documents evidencing your prearranged commitments, for example, contracts, or any kind of agreements you have to work in, for example, in a university, or, well, if you work in a university as a researcher, for example, outstanding, you can go into the EB1, EB1 B, which is subsection B, or EB1 2. So what it does is it's a little bit less strict, but in this case, you will need to provide for employment. But here we're talking about EB1 A, so we're sticking to that plan where there's no employer. And then you have to have a statement basically to show your intent of working in the fields in the United States. And then again, as I mentioned earlier, as we started, the great thing with any EB1 actually, you don't need a labor certification. And also there's no job offer. And how to file it, of course, the form I-140, but the documentation is major. And experience in how to prepare this can make a big difference. I've seen cases where people try to file on their own and they fail. They come to us, we use the same documents, but we explain it well and we process it well, and ultimately we're able to win their cases. So, and also you can do premium processing. I'm not going to go into the details of how to file it, but I talked about what you need to file it. And if you need help again, ladies and gentlemen, you can call us at 510-742-5887. You can visit our website for more, pirallilaw.com. And now, whatever I told you today is for educational purposes only. You should not act or refrain to act solely on the information provided. You should contact an attorney if you have any questions. The number to our office, 510-742-5887. Thank you.